Gary Bipes is with us, and he's giving me some flight lessons on flying my RV up to Hector, Minnesota sometime. It's a nose gear. Are you a CFI?
I was an ultralight instructor.
An ultralight instructor. When'd you get into ultralights?
Well, what happened, Bob, is when I crashed, I voluntarily said to the FAA, I'm not ready to fly. So when I let them keep my certificate. Well, and then getting it back is hard to do. So I went, and my brother-in-law was in aviation, in ultralight training in Maryland. He said, you know what? He said, you come up here and I'll get your instructor rating. Yeah. You can fly the light airplane and train people. You don't need a license to fly.
Right.
And you can train people. So I went and got my instructor ticket from him, came back and taught for 2 years. And I went to the FAA and said, wait a minute. If I can fly and train somebody who's never flown before, why can't I give my wife and then people a ride? So every time I took my wife for a ride, I signed her up as an ultralight student, paid $5, and then you're illegal for insurance.
Yeah.
So then I went back to FAA and said, well, if I can train them, why can't I give people a ride just for fun?
Yeah.
So then finally, after a while, like I said, it was hard. You're a number with the FAA.
Right.
But I had people working for me, and the secretary said, you know, Gary, it's going to take a while. So I took a picture of myself on an 8x10 and put my number under there, sent it to the doctor, and in a week, I think he realized that you're really a person. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know why that was? Because you work for the CIA. FAA is scared of the CIA.
FAA guys are really good. If you're really, they will help you. Everybody says, FAA's here, we're here to help you. And they go,
but we really had a guy in here, Mark Guyron, this week, young guy, fabulous guy. Was having a little safety seminar, but he didn't do it in the big hangar over here, you know, with the big shot stuff.
Yeah,
he went out to the field out here with the home builds and just had guys gather around and just chatted.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the new face of the FAA.
FAA guys, if you're really serious, they're there to help you.
Tell me about your crop dusting. You came back from Vietnam and worked for the CIA, and I'm going past all that I know because I want to get right to the crop dusting. Those people are crazy.
Yeah, they say you're nuts. They always say, and one thing about fun, my partner was from Alaska, and he started me crop dusting. He said he didn't want to take my chance was to get crop dusting. They had two candidates. One guy was a Huey pilot in the Army, and I go, I'll never get the position because the two guys in the other part of the company said, we want a good pilot. And I came in there and they asked me, said, what if we got somebody to drive a truck? I'll drive a truck. What if you got a flag for us? I said, I'll flag. And the other pilot said, I'm a pilot. I don't do the groundwork.
Yeah.
So he had more time than me, and my partner said, I will guarantee you I'll start Gary from ground one, and I want him to be safe. So he started me out and protected me.
Had you flown helicopters before that?
I got my rating through the GI Bill, thankfully. The GI Bill gave me my helicopter rating, and I worked at Telex doing headsets, and I kept it secret, and I walked in and said, I'm done. And when I got it, the first day I'm out spraying, I'm going, what am I doing here? And ironically, Bob, the first day I was out spraying, my partner's doing Green Giant, and he came
Green
back.
Green Giant
and,
is down around, was that down around the Mankato?
Green Giant's in Glencoe, the big
Glencoe,
plant.
Yeah,
in Le Sueur.
Right.
But anyway,
sure.
I was out spraying for a farmer for grain, and the other partner in the company was a pilot, but wasn't a crop duster. And I came back for a load, and he said, "Hey Gary, you got to get lower. You got to get lower." And I'm going, "Man, I'm touching the nozzles." He said, "You got to stay down there." Well, here's a knoll along there. My partner came out with a farmer. He said, "I got to watch my little guy spraying."
How low do you have to go?
Well, we were about a foot off the ground too low. Now they're about 3 to 5 feet, less than 3. Anyway, I dragged a boom in the ground.
Yeah.
The boom breaks back. And I pull back, and I catch the other boom, and my partner's out there, and he goes, oh, my God, there's Gary.
This
and
was your first day?
First day, and both booms are hanging down. I go, what did I get into?
Yeah.
So you go and you land. Nobody touches them. You go and you land, and you stretch them out. You let the weight of the helicopter bend them straight.
Right.
Went back to the hangar, and we worked all night, and I was crying, and he said, hey, that's part of the business. Get back in and go. So I did.
Yeah.
24 years of that, crop dusting.
24 years. It was 1994 you had an accident?
94, then I went for mosquito control. Scott Churchill.
Oh, you're the guy that's with the little, that flies around and dusts for the
Minneapolis.
I've seen you in the neighborhood.
Scott's got 7 helicopters. I helped him out the first year as a fill-in. I was going to quit crop dusting. But then I went with him 5 years, and I go, man, this is great. I had a hardware store. My wife and daughter ran the store, and I'm going, I'm going to do this. It rained 2 inches. I flew from Hector to Minneapolis, to Crystal Airport, mm-hmm. pick up the helicopter and go all day. You quit at 4 o'clock because they got their 8 hours in.
Yeah.
It was a great life. And if it was windy, you quit.
Didn't yeah. work. So and what happened? What happened?
Well,
when you had
then I went and helped. I finished my there's kind of a controller in mosquito control. And Scott was spraying out by Medina Ballroom. And he called me. And I finished my site. And I was landing at Crystal, fill up with fuel. And he said, Gary, I got problems with hydraulic. Can you come out and help me? He said, yeah, Scott, I'll come out. So I went out to Medina Ballroom. First load, I remember the guys put in the bag. They had white bags. You land between the bags. They load them up. And I took off. I have no memory of anything, Bob.
Really?
It's all gone.
Really? This was in around Crystal?
It was a Medina Ballroom. Tamarack Drive.
Yeah.
And what happened is there was a swamp, and we go into one swamp and climb up over the wires and go into the mm-hmm. next one.
Yep.
And we didn't like horses. I was a horseman,
right.
but
I
didn't want to scare the horses. So the lady that saw me was a nurse riding horses, and she said, I went up over the power lines and I turned and I dived right into them. I said, no. Yeah. At the hospital later, I said, no. And she said, it was a big blue ball of fire. She said, we thought you exploded. So she went back to the barn and had the other lady she was training call 911 helicopter.
Right. Yeah.
They came out there and she took three guys with them and they went out and they found the helicopter and the beeper was going for the turbine yet and the tank had broke off and there's some fuel running on me. Anyway, they went and rescued me, and they had the helicopter pick me up. But normally, the helicopter doesn't pick you up. You get the ambulance. If I'd have been an ambulance, I'd have been like Christopher Reeve's Superman.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
His neck was broke the same way.
No kidding.
And she said, you were... And in the hospital, they brought me the paper, and they said, Gary, you have an angel with you. You have an angel, because you should not be walking. And Dr. Kraft in North Memorial was going to amputate my leg, but he said, he's a pilot. We're going to gamble and save it. So I was in a hospital bed for 30 days. My wife stayed with me from day one.
Mm-hmm.
The bad part, Bob, is the news media was so great, and they knew, and the helicopter guys were on standby. When as soon as it got on the radio, an accident, they were out there, and it was on TV at home before mosquito control knew I crashed, and my daughter was turning the channel so Grandma could watch the soap operas, and they knew I had the orange helicopter, and my daughter turned the channel.
That's how she found out.
And she said, "Oh my God, it's Dad!" And my
that's bad. That's bad. A lot of guys would have stopped flying right around then.
I gave it up for a while, and then that's how I got back into ultralight flying, because I want to fly. I was born. My wife said, it's in your blood. And and your wife's not your first love. Your airplane's your first love.
Is that right? Is that what you told your wife?
Yep. They know that. They know that. They come second. The wife comes second.
Is that right?
They know. I had a guy getting married here a while
ago. How many years have you been married now?
We just celebrate our anniversary. It's the 28th of July at Oshkosh every year.
Yeah.
So we celebrated our 50th last night. And I'm 70. I turned 70, but I don't feel 70.
No, you don't look 70.
I'm very lucky. I'm very happy.
You look 70. And I got to tell you, I think the odds are not on your side by telling your wife that airplanes are,
she
are
knew
your
that.
First love.
Bob, you want to hear something funny? When we dated, we went to Flying Cloud, sat at the end of the runway of the hill, and we watched airplanes. That was our dating.
What a romantic you are.
I told a guy, his girlfriend, she was getting married. She said, I said, remember, his airplane's his first love, your second. She said, I'm finding that out.
Let's count this up now. How many airplanes have you, you've got helicopters and you didn't stop flying. You kept flying. You came back. You're in the ultralights. You had a Wagabond.
I got a Wagabond
now. How many have you flown now? How many aircraft have you flown?
Well, we've been lucky about 20 different airplanes.
20 different airplanes?
Yeah, 20. And I think I'm going to quit now. I had just sold a Whitman Tailwind to a guy.
Yeah.
I traded my S-14 for it. So I my wife said I should get a bigger hangar because I buy and sell, but I don't make a profit at it. So.
What's your favorite plane ever? Or helicopter, or ultralight, or whatever.
I don't know. There's so many that they're all great.
Yeah. Are they all better than your wife, though?
Yeah. She's stuck with me for 50 years. I can't take credit for that, Bob. And in a hospital, first thing warned us, Bob. They said, first of all, you're first candidate for a divorce.
Yeah.
And she changed the odds and said we're together. It was for her, not for me.
Yeah.
She stayed with me.
Yeah. You should have brought her today.
Yeah. I'm kind of in tears. But.
Yeah, that's good. Whenever you talk about your wife, you should be in tears.
Oh, yeah.
For the right reasons, of course. How long did it take you to get did you have to get your medical back?
About 2 years. It took about 2 years. And it's a working process. But the FAA, they were very good. Once they realized that, and they've been very good to me. So,
Was it hard to get back into the flying again?
You live with it every day.
Do you?
I can work for somebody and I do aerial photography. I can do that, and I fly a twin for a guy. If I'm busy doing like I'm doing work, I'm great. But when I'm alone, at first it's very traumatic because you're thinking, because of the accident, you don't know what went wrong. They were going to do hypnosis because they got to get it out of your hard drive in here.
Yeah.
It's in there. And so you don't know what you did wrong, so you're living with what did I do wrong. And you live with that all the time. I'm getting better after 18 years. It's been 18 years, June 10th.
Yeah.
But I'm getting better, but you go through a lot of trauma just to fly. It's really a challenge.
How often do you fly? How often do you fly?
Every day I can. I'm missing it now. I flew. Yeah. Bob, I got to fly. The rotorway helicopter guy was on the line. I went to him. I said, I've only flown two helicopters. One in Niagara Falls. The guy took me for a ride. And I flew a partner in Minnesota. Ed Newberg took me for my first ride in R-44. And here I said, I want to go up with you in the rotorway. And he said, okay, I'll take you up. But I told him, I haven't flown. I'm not going to spook out on you. But he said, I'll let you hover. I said, no, let's not waste time hovering. I flew around the pattern for him, and he said, you're doing very good. Mm-hmm. And I emotionally was in tears, and he said, are you doing okay?
Mm-hmm. Did you keep up the photography thing?
I still
did
do a lot of photography. Do a lot of photography.
Yeah.
I do aerial photo tile work. I film tile for people, and I do some farm sites on request. I can't charge for them. I just give them the picture and say, the heck with it. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You would have liked to have met this guy the interview we just played, Rick Gray, who was in an accident.
Oh yeah,
and came back, and it took him quite a bit to get back flying again. And
I just met the helicopter guys at the association there, and he talked
over here.
To me. Yeah, and he said, just hang on. I was emotional. Yeah. He said, just hang on.
Yeah,
he said, I went through it too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. I'm glad you came in today. What a thrill. Gary Bipes has been with us. Let's count this out now. Combat pilot in Vietnam.
Photographer.
Combat photographer in Vietnam. Worked for the CIA. Came back. Did helicopter spraying. Then mosquito spraying. Has owned or flown 20 different airplanes.
Owned different ones.
You're an A&P.
A&P.
Ultralight CFI.
Yeah, not anymore, but I was.
Yeah. What did I miss? Oh, I'm sure I missed a lot, but I'm running out of time.
And I have a loving wife that stays with me.
Oh, yeah, right.
She understands.
Who's second to...
airplanes. all the women
been married
are...
50 years. I'm not sure which one of those is the most intriguing.
Bob, your wife knows that too, Bob. You got an RV.
Won't you start
and Bob's
with her.
Got the fastest airplane in the world with RVs.
Yeah.
I want to see his airplane back at Fleming, Minnesota, because the RV guys, they're above the rest.
Is that right?
Yep, you guys are above the rest. When you say RV, you just go like, man, you guys, you got jet engines in them, even though a piston airplane. No, Bob, I'm very proud of you to have an RV.
This is why I come to Air Venture, so people can tell me I'm above the rest.
You're above the rest. You betcha. RV guys are above the rest.
Thanks for being with us. Great
Thank
to meet you.
You.